So you can see with some of the applications of Maisa of the Chuzbos B'cholov, well, of course, there's a very famous designation on many hashkachas that says the DE on it, which stands for dairy equipment. That's what we were trying to explain a little bit, what exactly is the halachic basis for that statement, what is the halachic significance of that statement, and we'll maybe talk about where some hashkachas don't like to put that statement on. So the sugya actually begins in the first of my makomos in the Seder Fulin, about 15 hours of the days. The Gemara begins with another chizki, Mishim Abaye, Hilchasa, Dagim Sha'ola B'Ka'ara, Muta La'ochlan B'Kusach. So which literally means the person has a fish that was on a plate, but it's permitted to eat that fish with kusach. Kusach is a milking dish that was a problem in the day of the Chazal. We have to add a little bit to the Gemara. I'm not just talking about putting fish on a plate. But rather, what we're talking about is as follows. We're talking about a plate that previously had basar on it. So we just have to keep track of the picture in our mind is, I take a piece of a hot meat, and I put the piece of hot meat onto a plate, and I eat the meat, take it off, clean off the plate. So there's no actual meat left on the plate. What there is tam of basar, there's taste of basar. So some of the taste of the meat has been transferred into the walls of the plate. And now I subsequently put dagim, I subsequently put parva food, not necessarily fish, any other kind of parva food, onto that same plate. And the question becomes, did the tam, the taste that had originally gone from the meat to the plate, does it now travel a second time into the fish? That's making the fish what we would call fleshik. What is the halacha? So this is the first application of the principle called equipment. Namely, that I want to know whether this particular fish is fleshish or not. So obviously, there's no meat literally in the fish. And putting aside the issues of health, the meat is fish, that's put that aside for another time. But obviously, there's no real meat inside the fish, but there is potentially a tam of meat. So do we have to be concerned with the tam of meat, with the taste that has traveled from the meat into the plate, and then from the plate definitely into the fish? The Gemara concludes that one does not have to be concerned with that. Mutala ochon b'kusach, but it's permitted to eat that fish together with milk. And that's what's called in halacha, no sin tam bar no sin tam. Literally, no sin tam means taste has traveled once. No sin tam bar no sin tam means it's the son of a no sin tam. It's traveled already twice. Usually, we don't bother calling it a no sin tam bar no sin tam. It's too warm and fussy to say. So the minig has become called not by not. That's the standard abbreviation that everybody uses. Remember, somebody once commented to me that they were sitting in a certain yeshiva, and there were a couple of YU guys who were sitting and learning there. They were learning the sugi of not by not. So they were using the phrase, not by not, not by not. So one of the other people from the other yeshiva said, that's one of the problems in YU. Everything is Rashi Tevis. And why can't you say the whole word out? The Bachman didn't want to respond that nobody in the last 1,000 years has ever used the term no sin tam by no sin tam. It's too clumsy. The Shach, the Ramos, everybody calls it not by not. It's not a why you should say. That's the conventional way of speaking. So the halacha is that not by not, the Gemara says it's permissible. Since tam went from the meat to the plate, from the plate to the fish, so we just ignore that subsequent tam. It's no longer considered to be fleshy. The question is conceptually, why should that be so? What is the basis of that halacha? But there is a suggestion of the Rashba. I didn't put it on the Marmakom, it's very, very long, but we'll just say it's Baal-Peh. But the Rashba suggests that it's based on the following idea. Rashba says that if you think about it, the tam that has traveled so far is still what we call the tam of Heter. There's nothing traced about the tam yet. We haven't discussed any problem yet. Kol's mind that the milk hasn't been introduced, still called the Dovash of Heter. Now, you want to create an Isra Bach B'cholah, says the Rashba, you can't create an iser on something which is so schwach to begin with, which is so weak to begin with. It's traveled so far. It's traveled from the meat, the plate, from plate to fish. There's no kreches left food anymore. It's called in halacha a tam kolosh. But then you have a tam kolosh, kol's man that it's a tam kolosh, you can't create an iser. However, says the Rashba, what if it wouldn't be a tam shalhetza? What if it would be chazer? What if it would be nevelus and treifus? Let's say I take a piece of chazer and I put it onto a plate. I take it off, and I put kosher food onto that plate. So, of course, the kosher food becomes trace. I don't say, well, it's traveled so many times, so it's not a problem. No. Says the Rashba, the only time you say this principle that it traveled so many times, it was permissible, is only by something such as basar, because the basar isn't basar yet. Only going to become basar when the chalav of the milk was introduced. So since by the time the milk was introduced into the equation, the tam basar has been so wiped out, it's so weak and it's traveled so many times, then it only then will apply the principle called not for not to hate of mutter. So the light that's what the din is, that no sin tam is a tam, not for not is mutter. Nevertheless, the Gemara contrasts that, going back to the first of the Mamakamas. However, it's known shechotcha b'sakin shechotcha b'basar. Whenever you have a case that seems to be very similar, a person takes a piece of meat and uses a knife to cut that piece of meat. And then he uses that knife subsequently to cut something else. So I would say that's classic not for not. It means the tam went from the meat into the knife, and then it goes from the knife into the power of a food. And we should say, well, nothing happened. It's still considered to be part of it. The tam basar hasn't traveled. Not by not as mutter. The Kamsik Gemara says, also the Ochel Mekusa. That's not true. That the second case is considered to be a problem. That's a major question. Why should that be so? If halachically, the principle is, once the tam has traveled twice, it's not subject to basar cholav anymore, why should everything change in the second case of the Tnon Shechot of the Sakin? The Rashi has two approaches to this figure. One Lashon Rashi says is that it's known a radish is a type of food that's what's called in Allah called the Dabba Kharif. It's something which is sharp. So many are familiar with the fact if you ask a shayla about something about, well, I use this part and that part, 99% of the time it will end up being mutter. But if you say the one bad word, you say there was an onion, so you're asking for trouble. If you just present the shayla, well, I cut an onion, forget it. That's always going to be also. Why is that? So an onion or it's known a radish is, these are Dvarim Kharifim, and Dvarim Kharifim are considered to have a higher level of tam in halacha. The Rashi in one shot says the reason why the second case is prohibited is because it's a davar charif, and the davar charif trumps the principle of not for not. So not for not is great, is wonderful, except when it comes into contact with the davar charif. That's one shot in Rashi. And the second shot in Rashi is, there's nothing to do with davar charif. The reason why case of cutting a vegetable is still a problem is because knives tend not to be cleaned all that well. Plates are clean. Well, the knives are harder to clean. So knives which are harder to clean, we always have to be concerned lest there's some actual meat on the knife. When I cut the vegetable, that's not by not. Not by not means when there's tam, when there's taste that was infused into the walls of a pot or into a plate or into a knife or somewhere, if it's traveling multiple times, then it's not to be reckoned with. You don't have to be concerned with it. But if there's still the end, if there's still real schmutz, there's real food is always a problem. Meat is good. Doesn't matter if I take a piece of meat and I go from one pot to another plate to another plate, it doesn't matter how many times it goes. It's that if it's still there, if it's still something I can touch, I can see, I can feel, so of course that's considered to be a problem. So two pshat and Rashi, why the second case is an exception to the rule. The basic rule stands, the dagam sha'od the ka'ara is mutalach of the kufa. So comes Tosfos in the second of Mamakamot and begins with a story with a chumrah, which is going to change our entire perception of the sugya of not for not. So comes Tosfos. And Chulin Daf Kufiyat Alef in the days. Look at the Dagon Shaul Bekara. B'shem Rashi, Pirish Rivon Chosto. The Rivon was one of the sons-in-law of Rashi. So the Rivon quotes the following: Dafka Olu Sharu. The only time that not by not is permissible is only like the case in the Gemara of Dagon Shaul Bekara. The Gemara gave a very specific case to illustrate this principle of not by not, that the hot fish was put onto a plate. Why did the Gemara use that kind of a case? Avon Vashlu says the Rivon. What if it wasn't that a hot pyre of food was put onto a plate, but rather it was actually cooked in a pot? Namely, I took a pyre of a pot and I cook up meat in the pot. So now I have a mamash, a fleshy pot, and I go ahead and I cook potatoes, I go ahead and I cook eggs, I go ahead and I cook pyre of a food. So comes the Rivon and says, then the tam does spread. And I cannot hide behind that by not, says the Rivon, the only time that it's kula of not for not is only when there's derech aliyah, when it's going into a plate, because the plate is cold. I'm just taking a hot food and putting it onto a cold plate. The degree of tam, the spread, is very, very little. About the bashlum, but if I'm cooking in a pot, also, and for sure the tam spreads, the kichat tam achoshiv, it's considered to be like the same tam, it's not for not anymore. Well, but my still a fun of it. One time it happened that the Rivon was brought the following case, the day tzibish of his bashlum, the kidevah shal cholav. That there were eggs that had been cooked in a milchik pot. We would call dairy equipment. So comes the Rivan and says, what do you do with dairy equipment? You have eggs that were cooked in a milk pot. But based on the Gemara, I would have said, set the gomer. Not by that. Do that. You can take those eggs and put them on your, put them in the chot. Should you have the gomer? So says the Rivan now, so says the Rivan, you are not permitted to use those eggs, those milchic eggs now, and put them into a fleshic dish. So this was the chiddush of the Rivan. He said it theoretically, and then he said it for mice as well, that the whole kul of napanat just fell by the wayside. It only applies on a cold plate, but in a hot pot, and it's all over. Says Tosus, perhaps we can bring a proof of the Rivan. We can bring a raya to him. The Gemara said before that if you cut a piece of the meat and then you subsequently cut a vegetable, so that's a problem. The vegetable, the kura, the snow is considered to be fleshig. Because since it's so sharp, most of the thing Rashi is one of Rashi's shatim, since it's so sharp, the chashik yichataima, that's considered to be like one top. One that's such a strong taste, sharpness, that trumps not by not. It is bashna regarding snow. So says Tosfos, it is cooked together. How much more so is that considered to be chatam? Umil Tosfos concedes the perish lush and achesh shabrish bekutris. According to the other pshat in Rashi, the time of the also mishum shashum and karsh al asakin. The reason why, in the case of cutting the radish, the vegetable, why it's not called the heter not by not, is because the shuman, because there's grease on the knife. Ve'elo nikli, just can't see it. Mavitam rishon b'tznon ein ray mishum. Then there would be no riot in the case of this Bashlu B'yachas. Again, Tosfos says, this din of the Rivan, whether there's a new Chumrah here called not by not their official, which according to the Rivan translates to mean that you cannot eat it with the opposite food. So if you cook eggs in a fleshy pot, those eggs are fleshy. If you cook potatoes in a milchic pot, those potatoes are milchic. That Chiddush of the Rivan seems to be against the Gemara. The Gemara says not by not as Mutter. The Tosfos says it's not against the Gemara. It's based on the equivalent, halacha equivalent, of cooking food together to davar charif. That, of course, only makes sense if davar charif really plays a role. If you don't like the other pshat in Rashi, that the reason why the radish was a problem because the knives were dirty, then that would not impact at all in our shadow. So at the end of the day, we're not quite sure what the din is. This is, of course, very, very relevant for us. Not only is it relevant in our kitchens, it's relevant in all of our factories as well. I remember when I was a little kid, sometimes my mother would say to me, oh, you can't eat those potatoes. Those are fleshy potatoes. I never thought what fleshy potatoes. According to most, many of the Rishonim who've never heard of this Rivan, these fleshy potatoes. That statement doesn't make any sense. If you have potatoes, how did it become fleshy? If they were mamish cooked together in a pot with chicken at the same time, okay, those are fleshy potatoes. But that's usually not what happens. Usually they were cooked in a fleshy pot. So all of a sudden we call it colloquially fleshy potatoes. I'm sure everyone has heard that phrase. It's a milchic egg. Where did it come milchic from? It became milchic. It became fleshic because it was cooked in a pot that at one time was cooked fleshic to milchic. So according to the Rivan, that's a true statement. According to those who disagreed with the Rivan, many Rishonim disagreed with the Rivan, they never heard of such a thing. Just because it was this bashlo, because they were shavos, a big deal. That's classic not by not. So we have a major machlokes in Rishonim. How do we talk in the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch in the third of the Ramakamot, the Shulchan Aruch said, it's if if you cook an egg in water, although it was a milchic pot, mutul ha-seis osa b'serachat ha-negolot ha-fil l'chetchila. So the Shulchan Aruch said that it's perfectly permissible in l'chetchila to take that, some people would have maybe mistakenly called the milchic egg, and put it right into your chicken. You can eat it together with fleshy, says the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't accept the view of the Rivan. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, and most of the Rishonim, we never heard of this Rivan. You say that it's called not by not. It doesn't matter whether it's in a Kara, whether it's in a Kadeir, whether it's an official mutter. It's always considered to be not by not, and therefore there's nothing wrong. There is no such thing as a milchic egg or fleshy egg. For that matter, according to the Shulchan Aruch, there is no such thing as dairy equipment as well. Dairy equipment is just the modern day at a factory of this shadow of the Rivan. Namely, I use certain equipment in the factory to process something dairy on. And now we go ahead and we prepare part of a food and that equipment. So all of a sudden we call it dairy equipment. According to the non-Rivan people, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that designation doesn't make any sense. It doesn't exist. It would be totally mutter to take the dairy equipment food and eat it mamish together with flesh.
Maybe you
can take a prevention. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, even though there is a difference, one's the right one, but in terms of practice, it's not going to be a difference.
Isn't to be left us there to follow us there for leather?
No. No, which means, it just means it's cooked with milk. Cooked with milk or milk with fat. Have you? Okay, that may change things. So the chalak may throw things off. We'll see as we go on. So even though the Shulchan Aruch quotes unequivocally those who disagree with the Rivan, if we go back to the Ramah, the second line of the third of the Ramakamah, at the middle of the line Hagah, to Yesh Machmirin, there is some who are Machmir, it's Liu Bishel, if the food was either roasted on a, let's say, I roasted a potato on a fleshic grill, or they cooked a potato in a fleshic pot, lesser no sin tam by no sin tam. So that's the sheep of the Rivan, that should be a problem. So the question is, how far is the Ramah quoting the Yesh Machmirin? The Ramah continues, Tamminig lesser the Chachila, but the Evan with the Bechol Inyan. So says Ramah, our custom is to follow the view of the Rivan, but not 100%. The Choshesh was concerned with the Rivan's view. What that would mean is as follows. If you have potatoes that were cooked in a fleshy pot, you should not eat these potatoes with cheese. That's the proper thing to do. According to the Shulchan Aruch, you can do whatever you want. But according to the Ramah, the Chachil, you should not be eating these potatoes with cheese. But what if you got some cheese got onto the potatoes? What if it got mixed in already? So then we're going to say it's trace, because you have to throw it out. And the answer is, according to the Rivan, yes. According to the Rivan, you have to throw it out. Whereas the Ramah is not willing to tell you not to throw the food out. The Ramah is saying, these are the lechatchila, we should be choshesh not to eat the dairy equipment or the meat equipment, whatever it is, with the opposite food. But the evidence, if it already got mixed into the opposite food, then we're going to let you eat it after the fact. So that's what the Pesach of the Ramah is. So Ashkenazim generally follow this Pesach of the Ramah. That's how we're knowing Lamaisa. So we are concerned with dairy equipment. We will not take food that was made in dairy equipment and just eat it together with meat. But the evidence, if it already got mixed into meat, we're not going to throw the whole thing out. We used to have this issue in our house very often. My wife would make pasta, unless you make it in a fleshy pot. Inevitably, one of my kids would decide that they have to have cheese in the pasta. They will fit. They will not eat the pasta without cheese. So now the question is, okay, I see from the nods other people have had these sagas also. So the question is, now what do you do? I have these fleshy noodles, fleshy pasta, and I want to know, can I put cheese on it? So the answer is, depends whether you follow the Rivan or not. So, I wouldn't put cheese on it because I want to follow the Ramah, it's almost to follow the Rivan. But when you have a screaming kid, so maybe the screaming kid has a right to rely on Tyson, and they have a right to rely on the Shulchan Aruch, that it's okay. Now, well, what do you mean it's okay? I'm going to let them go ahead and put the cheese onto the pasta, and tray for my whole kitchen. I'm tray for anything. The Ramah himself just got to be telling you, but the evidence is right anyway. If you have it out, you can eat anyway. So it's not going to tray it up. The Chumah L'Chachila. So there have been times in the course of the last several years that our otherwise fleshy pasta has been turned into potentially not pasta, relying against the sheet of the Rivan. But again, Norman of Halacha, one of the least of the age of Barabbas Mitzvah, should really be careful, Ashkenazi, they should be careful not to violate this. So we have to be cheshesh for the fleshy equipment, we have to be cheshesh for the milk equipment as well. So in the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, so the Shach in Sifrei Peitet is commenting on a Ramah. I'm sorry, I didn't read the Ramah first. In the fourth of the Maamar Kamos. So back for a moment to the fourth of the Maamar Kamos. So the Ramah is talking about, going back to some of the halachas we spoke about it several weeks ago, about the requirement of waiting after eating meat before partaking of milk. So we saw the Gemara tells us as a chumah mid rabbanon, even though it's not their official, obviously, I'm not even eating it together. But since the person ate meat, so he shouldn't be eating the milk soon afterwards for a variety of reasons. Some Rishonim said because the taste is still in his mouth of the meat. Other Rishonim said it's meat, that's a piece of meat that's still between his teeth. Whatever it is, whatever the reason for the dimmer the rabbanon is, ochol bosle yechol gvina. We spoke a lot about how long one has to wait, whether you have to wait to be soon masuda, 1 hour, 3 hours, 6 hours, benching, all the different possibilities. But the nice lesson in the halach is that you have to wait. Then there's a further machlokes in the Rishonim. What if you're eating a food that's not actual meat itself? It means it's more of a tafshin shabosa. It means you cook meat together with other kinds of food, and I want to eat, I want to take, let's say, a little soup or something, or other things that was cooked as part of the meat. Does that also require us to wait 6 hours? And I'm going to give that yes. So comes the Ramah, from that comment that says, Nihu, in the fourth of the Ramah Gavot, in Ein Bosa B'Tavshil, Ravshin is Tavshil B'Kedere Shal Bosa. What if you have food that's really part of a food? It was never cooked together with meat. It doesn't have any meat in it whatsoever. So what is it? It's part of a food that happens to be cooked in a fleshic pot. So comes the Ramah and says, Mutalechel acharos vina. So then it's permissible to eat cheese, eat milk after the part of food, even though the part of food was cooked in a fleshy pot. The ein bad nidl hachmir. So comes the Rambam and says, and don't even tell me if it's chumra, but it's nidl, zero, tested, well, not even a shayla. So again, if you have real meat and you want to eat cheese afterwards, that's for sure also. If you have a sort of tashil shabbosar, that's not real meat, but it's something that was put together with meat, that's the question. But says the Rambam, even I will then be machmir the tashil shabbosar on part of a food that was cooked in a fleshy pot. That's out of the question. Nobody in a million years would ever be machmer on that. So the question is, what was the necessity of the Rambam saying this? The Rambam feels like he tells, sounds like he's giving you a great cooler. Sounds like, I would have put it off there, but Kamash Malan that this is okay. So the Mechmeranim have a lot of problems with this Rambam, because Lechora, not only do you not have to wait after eating the food that was cooked in the fleshy pot, but it could be Mikra Din, you're allowed to eat Mamash together. Because Mikra Din not burn out as mutter. I mean, the Rivan is a chum, okay. But I'm saying, you're allowed to take the food, the potatoes that were cooked in the fleshy pot, and Mamash put cheese on it, like the pasta. You can take the fleshy pot and put cheese on it, Mikra Din. So there are more sounds like he's giving you a Gabalika Kula. By the way, you don't have to wait 6 hours. You don't have to wait 6 hours. You don't have to wait anything. You're allowed to eat Mamash together. What was the significance of this Ramah? So the Shach and the fifth of the Ramakamba says, he speaks to Ramah, so to tell you the following Kula. You remain Bosa Mutter. The Kamon Reish Sim and Sadi Hei Yisvayer, Yasil the Ochlun Gvina Mutter, Tavi Nat Bar Nat. So the Shach is asking the Ramah, what's the Kiddush that you don't have to wait? You're allowed to eat it together. Now the Nira says the Shach, the Kiddush is as follows. The Hash Me'inan, Hocha the Mutter Lechon Gvina Charta, Hainu Afil Nisbash of the Kedera, Shalom Hutcha Yofer. So says the Shach, if the pot was absolutely spotless, and it's just a question of a not bar not, so then I don't need the Ramah to tell me you don't have to wait. If Nikra did, you can eat it together. The Chiddush of the Ramah is, even if the pot wasn't absolutely clean, the pot still had some residue of fleshik on it. So says the Shach, I would have thought, if I cooked potatoes in a fleshik pot, which is not just fleshik, but the look, it came up to the grease of the pot, I would have thought that the Avik Tasma Moshe Shalisar, I would have thought that it's a potential problem with Leshik. But I got the Osel Osel in Vina, so there you should not eat those potatoes with milk, but you have Sham Bishari Hapa. But in terms of waiting, then there is no need to wait. But the Shach just told us that now we have different gradations, different levels as to what's considered to be, how Leshik is Leshik, but how serious is the equipment considered to be a problem. So comes the Shach, putting together this Ramah, putting together everything we said, I make the following setup of a hierarchy of rules. That if you have real meat, obviously, you have to not only can't eat with milk, you have to wait 6 hours as well. If it's a tafshil shabbosar, it means it's something that was, let's say you make the chicken soup, now you have the potatoes or whatever, the carrots in the chicken soup, that's why it's a tafshil shabbosar, it's cooking together with the meat, then once you eat that, you shouldn't eat any, you shouldn't have milk for 6 hours as well. But if you didn't even have that, you just cooked up potatoes in a fleshy pot. So me'ika mikra din, those potatoes in mamish parva. L'chadchila, we have a minute to follow the revolve. L'chadchila, don't eat it together with cheese. But mikra din, it's really going to be mutter. Is there any reason to have to wait for 6 hours? You have to eat those potatoes? So the Ramah and the Shach said, actually, it's equal to wait 6 hours. What are you waiting 6 hours for? They're not even fleshy to begin with. For sure you don't have to wait 6 hours. And says the Shach HaChiddush, what if the pot is even a little bit dirty? Pasta, a trifle dirty, it's also okay. You still don't have to wait for 6 hours. So this Ramon, this Shach, are now very important for us. They basically just told us that even though we are concerned with dairy equipment, or we are concerned with meat equipment, that only means vis-a-vis eating it together, Mamish. But in terms of the requirement of waiting, then we just ignore that whole E, or the DE part of our Shkasas, we just ignore the whole E, because it's not Bosa Mamash, it's not full of Mamash, and therefore it's Mutter. What would be the practical application of this? Well, if that person had a Shabbos meal, so they had their chicken, they had their chillin, their Mamash fleshig, and now they want to bring out something for dessert. And it happens to be that dessert says on it D. The question is, what is the meaning of that D? If the meaning of that D is there's real dairy in it, there's Mamash Meal in it, then obviously that's going to be a problem. If the meaning of that D is, it's not really Melechik, the means is, it was cooked in the same equipment that at one time was used to cook milk in it. So the worst case scenario is that it's dairy equipment. So even though the minig is not to eat it together with the fleishik sauce, I would take the shulchan cookies. And I know for a fact that the shulchan cookies, even though they say dairy on them, They're not really dairy. They're really dairy equipment. So, to eat the cookies together with Shleisha, so that would be dependent on the Rishon and the other Rishonim. Of course, the most Rishonim is not okay. But I'm thinking is like the Ramal and the Rishon not to do that. So I shouldn't be eating the dairy equipment together with meat, but to be required to wait after eating meat for eating dairy equipment, Antidekach, the Ramal and the Shas say, one is not required to wait. And what if the equipment wasn't even so clean? Hopefully, stuff in the factories is probably pretty clean, but some stuff in the mess rounds may not be so clean. So the Shach says, even if it's a little bit dirty, that's also okay. It's not going to be any worse than regular dairy equipment. So once you get ready, you get the sense that the term dairy equipment is a very confusing term in halacha, because you have to know the Rishon, you have to know the other Rishonim, you have to know, am I eating it together with the meat, eating without the meat, after the meat, am I waiting, not waiting? So it starts to get very, very complicated. So that's why there are different opinions about different contemporary kashrus organizations, whether we should even introduce that confusing logo into a standard kashrus symbol. So there are many organizations that refuse to apply the principle of DE. If anything that's DE, anything that's dairy equipment, they're just going to write dairy on it, finished. If you happen to know that it's dairy equipment, you figure out for yourself what to do. But just the organization itself will not print those confusing letters to eat because people don't understand. Is it milk? Is it not milk? Not everybody knows every shot in your day. So they just across the board will say that it's dairy. And there are other organizations that they don't. I mean, they'll write DE and they don't know what that means before the rabbi and find out what exactly DE means. Very often, what happens is that a shot the other day, very often you get to attend a shot, but somebody makes a mistake in the gospel of Allah. And they get all mixed in something that was dairy and said, meat, and whole story. And now they're getting all nervous. And then when they call me up and I say, listen, I'm not even sure there's any real dairy in this. What do you mean it's not dairy? There's dairy on it. Says, well, we have to find out from the organization, is it really dairy or not? A certain organization will print DE, and if it says D on it, so you know that's Mamash Melchik. But within the other organizations that don't, they're not going to reach that label. They'll never print anything DE. You have to call them and find out. I just had this the other day. Somebody just called me that they mixed a certain thing into their coffee. They were drinking the coffee in a flesh-shaped mug, and they put some syrup in, and they thought that the syrup was a fire, but it turned out it had a big D on it. With ascertaining what the status was, it wasn't really the altogether. The dairy equipment altogether was the D, but it's not going to really trace anything up. So this whole discussion that we've had is all assuming that the Rivon is true. If the Rivon is not true, so then everything's mutter. And then, not everything literally, but everything in this figure is going to be mutter. But according to the non-Rivon people, so not by not, it's completely permissible, even if it's beneficial. So even though Avdinig is the machma for the Rivon, we can look at the sixth of the Maimon Talmud. So the Ramah has a comment in the sixth of the Maimon Talmud, even in light of the Shittas of Rivon, a certain kula. So comes to Ramon and says, so what if the pot that you cook these potatoes in happened to have, yes, been a fleshy pot, but it happened not to have been used for the last 24 hours? He called it halacha a klisha in a ben yomo. Why in the world does that make a difference? So this is a throwback to some of the principles we spoke about at the beginning. Remember, the first couple of weeks of the year, we try to develop all the basic principles of kashrus before we break down some of the nitty-gritty. So there was a basic principle in kashrus that trace of food is only a problem if it tastes good. If it tastes miserable, if it tastes horrible, then it's not considered to be trace. The Torah says that you're not allowed to eat nevela, you're not allowed to eat an animal that wasn't shechted, and the Torah immediately says, no sochlo kol nevela, you're not allowed to eat the nevela, but you're supposed to give it to the goyim, let the goyim eat it. The Gemara Darshan in the Masechet of the Zohar, and the fact that the Torah describes giving the food, the trace of food to the goyim, it sounds like we're talking about food that is edible. So the Torah limits the issur of treifas, machos of food, only applies when the food is edible. So it's the corollary of that statement is, the Gemara says, if you have a pot that was used more than 24 hours ago, even though there's some of the treifas that's balur, that's absorbed into the walls of the pot, if it's been sitting inside the walls for more than 24 hours, we assume that it's already rotting. It's already tastes bad, and therefore, in HaTorah, you don't have to be determined at all together. That's why, in fact, the entire institution of Kasher and Kalim that appears in the Chumash in Parshas Matos, the Gemara explains that entire mitzvah, the whole entire set of halachas of Kasher and Kalim, only applies if you want to use the kli within 24 hours. I just cooked chazer in an hour ago, and I want to use that pot to cook my soup. then it's a problem. Then the Netzari has to cash it apart. If you just want to wait it out for 24 hours, so then that the Torah only prohibits a Kedera Bat Yoma, it only prohibits a pot that was used within that previous 24 hours. So how come we cash the candle all the time? How come we never heard of this and just waiting 24 hours and then using the pot? The Gemara says that Midi Rabbanon, the Chachamim instituted, that you have to cash the pot even after 24 hours for very obvious reasons. But we are afraid that if we let you use pot after 24 hours, the next thing you know is the guy's going to use the pot within the 24 hours as well. So Minat Torah, within 24 hours, the pot has to be kashed. But the Rabbanon, it has to be kashed even after 24 hours. Since the whole prohibition is only the Rabbanon, so the Chachamim made the following dispensation. They said, L'chatchila, you should not use the pot. The pot, whatever you use the tray, whether it's within 24 hours, within a month, 2 months, 6 months, whatever it is, you should never ever use the pot again for Toshi food without kashering it. But the Diyavid, if you went ahead and you cooked with it, the Diyavid, we're not going to make you throw the food out. If you cook in a pot, that's a ben yomo, means within 24 hours, then even the Diyavid, the food is going to be traced. If you cooked in a pot that was after 24 hours, the Diyavid, the food is going to be kosher. So it's based on this principle, the Ramon now raises the following Shaila. We who accepted the Chumrah of the Rifan, called dairy equipment, we accept meat equipment, dairy equipment. So what constitutes equipment for these purposes? What if I used the pot for fleshes last week, and now I went ahead and I cooked potatoes in that pot? Do I have to refrain from eating those potatoes with milk also? Or let's say I have a fleshes meal, and I want to eat together with a fleshes meal something that was cooked in a milk pot, but it was cooked in a milk pot that hasn't been used for milk for the last 24 hours. So do we have a right to say, well, everything is nosin tamav gam, and whatever is nosin tamav gam doesn't count anymore? So the Ramah says yes. The Ramah writes again that if I have Klishin as Bashal and Nitzabal of Gam, Shlo Ben Yomel, no give head to the Chetchil of the Ben Hashemi, then we do not have to be Machna for this. It's more to even the Chetchila to cook, to eat such food. However, what's not clear from the Ramah is the following. Even though the Ramah told us, the Feirish, that if you went ahead and you cooked pasta in a fleshy pot, and the pot was not used for 24 hours, then even the Chetchila, you can put cheese onto it. Did the Ramah permit us the Chatchila to set up such a situation? Can you actually run your kitchen this way? Can I say like this? You know, I want to make pasta right now to serve pasta and cheese. That's my goal. So I'm going to go take my fleshig pot, knowing full well that this pot was fleshig at one time. I'm going to cook up pasta for the Chatchila to use that pasta together with cheese. Is there anything wrong with that? If the pot was within 24 hours, that's a sure problem. If it's more than 24 hours, can you do that even with Chatchila, Shabbat Chatchila? So the Ramah doesn't comment on that. The Ramah just said, if it happened already, then you can use the pasta with cheese. But the Ramah sanctioned this even with Chachilas, that was a big mistake as a poskim. Some poskim said, yes. But the Ramah said that in the Bein Yomo, the whole sugya falls by the wayside. You can lamish, I can make my kids happy, I can make them take a regular fleshic pot. As long as I'm careful not to use the pot within 24 hours, it's more for the Chachilas and the Chachilas to make pasta knowing full well I'm going to serve the pasta with cheese. Another poskim say, you know, we're concerned. We don't want to confuse the world with Ben Yomel, then Ben Yomel, some Fadzasa, some Mutta. So if you would go home and tell your wife, said Rabbi Shalosky, said that you're allowed to take a fleshy pot, you know full well it's fleshy, as long as it's 24 hours and 1 minute that this uses for fleshy, you can now put the pot of food and serve with milk, they would throw you out together with the pot. So most people don't follow this cool. There are some most people who permitted this, instead of it's Ben Yomel, everything's Mutta, even the Chachilash of the Again, so this basic sugya in terms of the whole notion of what's considered to be fleshes, what's considered to be milchik, what's considered to be merely equipment and not merely equipment, it all started out with the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzitzit Aleph about the sugya of matana. The Gemara told us, Dagam Sha'od Ka'ara, that the fish that was put onto the fleshic plank is not really considered to be fleshic. So we gave an understanding based on the Rashba why that's so, because the Tom is so weakened already, so it's not subject to be kibbutzer. Then we had the Machlekes in the Rifan and the other Rishonim, whether that carries over to their official or not, which was related to the issue of how to understand the Chumrah about the snow being cut with a knife. Is that a Chumrah of the Vecharif or not? Then we pointed out the Machlekes in the Mechav and the Ramah had a pasuk in the Halacha. Of the Ramah, the Tzach Rosh Hashanah is that we're choshesh for dairy and meat equipment, lechatchila, but not for the Diyaved. And then we had the Ramah's addition, that even in a situation where something is dairy equipment or meat equipment, it doesn't require or doesn't warrant the necessity of waiting between the two. And that the associates agree we're leaning on that, even though there's a little bit of a residue on it, that's also not considered to be a problem. Then we have the last Kula that the Ramah throws a little bit of a monkey wrench in the Kula, and he says that the Medav Amurim, this whole sugya only makes sense when everything was a Ben Yomav. Since we're not saying Yomav, then everything goes, everything is okay. And we're not quite sure, Lamaisa, how okay is that? Is that okay in the Diyav, or is that okay even with the Chila? Even within that small demarcation called a D versus a DE, there's a lot of longer. Every next time you see a D on a piece of equipment, it's a piece of food, you got to remember, is this really D? Is it really D? Is it 23 Rivan? Is it a problem? What's other Shabbat? It's not a problem. The Chila B'Diyav, it's a lot of longer. So again, you can understand why certain problems with Ashkaf is to take the whole thing off. They don't want to get the whole oil mixed up in it. But it's important to know the difference, because sometimes that's the kind of issue with the Diyav. You don't have to start throwing food out if it can turn out that it wasn't really built.
Okay. Thank you.